Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. We'll read from Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 9. And also, we will be reading from our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 39, which is on the fifth commandment. We skipped over the fourth commandment. Jacob London had preached on that not too terribly long ago. I think church time is a little bit like animal time. We kind of, if it was several months ago, that was actually quite soon in church time. So he preached on that not too long ago. So we're going to skip over the fourth commandment into the fifth commandment. So once again, that's Ephesians chapter 6, Lord's Day 39. Before we read these, let's ask God's blessing upon the reading and preaching of His Word. Dear Father, we bring before You a request, in fact, a deep longing and a desire in our heart, that You would speak to us, that we would hear and obey. That is all we can ask, that is all we can desire, that we would lap up Your words, that we would thirst for them greatly and find ourselves satisfied and fed only in You and Your Word. We pray that You would convict our hearts, specifically that You would open up Your will and Your Word in the fifth commandment and in our reading from Ephesians, that we would honor Your Word. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. First, we will read from Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. As we will move on to the catechism, I do want to just draw our attentions to what might not actually be highlighted much in the message itself. Verses 5 to 9 might seem like they don't really go with the fifth commandment, especially as we will tonight be talking mostly about it in the home and in the family with children and parents. Yet those verses describe in a pretty remarkable way how we are to serve, how it tells slaves to obey their masters. You could apply to us and to how children are to obey their parents and honor them, and as we also are to honor those in authority over us. We'll now read from Lord's Day 39 in the Catechism's explanation of the fifth commandment. What is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. Submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings, for by their hand God wills to rule us. I'm going to read that last sentence again. For by their hand God wills to rule us. I wonder if you, and especially the young people and children here tonight, would agree with this statement. One of the surest ways to destroy a society, corrupt the church, and break the family is to fail to honor parents. Would you believe that? Do you think one of the easiest ways to lose your path, to fall away, to fall into sin, is to dishonor your parents, to not obey them? You also believe that if you were to honor your parents, that you would be blessed by God for honoring them and obeying them. Well, that's what the fifth commandment says. The fifth commandment calls all people, and it specifies children to honor their father and their mother, and as Ephesians says, to obey them. And then it says that this is the command that's given with a promise, that it might go well with you in the land. There is a promise for those who obey their authorities and submit to authority properly. They will be blessed. Now, of course, we recognize that's not a one-to-one comparison, as if you're going to receive what you think is a blessing if you are obedient, if you are honorable and honoring your parents, that you'll receive all these things you want. We understand that God's blessings come in many different ways, but we do recognize that for those who honor parents, those who honor authority, they are pleasing God, and God will bless them in His own ways, in many different ways, but He will bless them. The fifth commandment is a commandment that we are all aware of, but one that we might break more blatantly than most of the others. You see, as we go through the commandments, there are some of them that, when you read them, you have to do some digging to see how you break them. This morning we talked about murder and how it's not so evident to ourselves. When you say, don't murder, you might think, well, okay, I won't. I won't go and slay this person. I won't kill them. There I'm keeping the command. And then we recognize, no, we have to dig deeper. It gets at the heart. But the fifth commandment, it doesn't really take an imagination for us to see how we break it and break it frequently. And children, I'm especially talking to you. Do you obey your parents? Do you listen to them? Do you honor them? It goes far beyond a mere service that you begrudgingly do what your parents ask you to do, that you do it in anger or frustration. That's not honoring them. That's not listening and obeying this command. This command calls us to honor our father and mother, and that word honor is the similar and same word used for honoring the name of Christ. And we talked about that with blasphemy, that we are supposed to treat God's name with weight. There's weightiness. Honoring something is to treat it with value. It holds weight. It holds stock. That's how we're to treat our parents. We are to act as if they, and treat them as if their words matter. We're supposed to value them. We're supposed to trust what they say. We're supposed to obey them. And we'll see that as we go through this evening, our first point, and that's an address to the children. This commandment itself is addressed to children. Now, we know it applies to more than just children and young people. It applies to all of us. In fact, if we would have had time to do this evening, we could have gone through the three spheres. We could look at how we are supposed to honor in the home and honor parents, then look at how we are supposed to honor in the church and our office bearers, and then we should look at the civil realm and see how they should be honored. But this evening, we're going to look at what the commandment specifically mentions, the home. An address to children and young people and an address to parents, and we all apply here. No matter how old you are, there is still a command to honor your parents, to honor those in authority, and to not treat them with contempt and frustration and anger. And so we'll start first with an address to the children and to the young people. Ephesians 6, verse 1, Paul calls children to obey. God calls you to obey, so boys and girls, do you obey your parents? Do you listen to them? If you're not listening to them, then you're dishonoring God. You're angering God. You're making God sad. We can say it that way. You're supposed to listen to them. It's a pretty simple commandment. Obey them. Honor them. If you're not listening to them, If your mom and dad tell you to do something and you don't do it, you're disobeying this command and you're disobeying God. And that's the real problem. It's not just about what is owed to your mom and dad. Your mom and dad should be honored. But the real reason we obey this command is because we glorify God. We praise God in honoring our moms and our dads. Because God has set them over us. God has given them authority over us. So we are called to obey. Simply obey. That means when your mom and dad tell you to eat something, you eat it. When they tell you not to eat something, you don't eat it. When they tell you to clean your room, you clean your room. You don't run away. They shouldn't have to count. They shouldn't have to warn. You should listen to them and what they say, because your goal is to please your mom and dad, yes, but really your dad in heaven. You want to please God. There's the reason that we obey this command, and not just kids, but all of us. God has placed authorities over each and every one of us. And this ties into the message we heard this morning. Submission is not a bad thing. God has placed his authorities over all of us, and when we don't honor them, we're not honoring God, because they're God's representative to us. Even in their failings, even when they're not perfect parents or perfect leaders or perfect elders or deacons, we are called to respect, to honor them, to listen to them. And that's important. And that's really the point, to honor God. God gave them this responsibility. And this is very true for young people as well, not just the little children. As you grow, young people, as you become or almost are adults yourselves, you are still called to listen to your parents and to value them. And that doesn't, of course, mean that you have to obey everything your mom and dad tell you. That doesn't mean that they have supreme authority over you in everything that they do, even as you become adults. Yet still, and this is to all of us, we honor our parents. We honor their words. Even if we don't always listen to them, if they're incorrect, if they're telling us to do something that isn't right, we don't obey them because we first are submissive to God, but we still honor them. We don't treat them with contempt. We don't call them names. We don't ignore them. We honor them. For some of us, this is easier than others. Some of us have parents that are frankly more honorable than others. For some of us, we had parents that was very difficult to honor, and they were not honorable. Some of us had parents that hurt us. And how do we listen and obey to this command? Well, it isn't that we must listen to everything they say. It's that we respect them, we pray for them. We tell them and explain to them why we are doing what we're doing. And we don't disobey them unless we have biblical reason. But this is how we respect and honor those in authority. This is how we respect our parents. We see that God, when he has appointed his authorities, expects them to be obeyed. So young people, this means you don't roll your eyes behind your parents' back, and you don't talk about them to your friends and how annoying they are or how they shouldn't be doing what they are and how you just don't like them at times or how frustrated you are with them. You honor them. You speak highly of them. Or you at least don't speak poorly of them. And this is what I'm trying to get at. It's not because of our parents ultimately. It's not because of our authorities ultimately. It's about God. He is owed all the honor. And when he has put an authority over us, we honor that authority, or else we are not honoring God. This is why Christians ought to be the best children, best church members, and the best citizens that there are. So we're respectable. We listen. We follow law and order. But again, where we're told to do something wrong, we don't follow that. We follow God. But we respect our authorities. And this is what the fifth commandment is saying. And this is a lot of sound advice to us. There's, especially for young people, especially for those in high school and college, there's this expectation today that they're supposed to go out and sow all their wild oats. There's an expectation that they're going to be a rebellious teenager. And to a certain extent, that happens with how we develop and grow as we are getting older. We want to express ourselves and our independence. But that's not something we as parents or we as children should just accept as okay, that we can We can, as we get older, now dishonor our parents. Now we don't need to listen to them. Now we can go out and sow our wild oats. Now we can go be immature. No. We don't buy into that. You as children, as young people, as adults, should be trying and striving to be as mature and wise as you can be. This is all part of the fifth commandment and respect to elders. This also means that there should be respect in our church for those who are elderly, for those who have lived, for those who have wisdom. Of course, not every old person has wisdom. Not all the seniors have everything that they say is what you should listen to. But we recognize, and it's biblical to recognize, that those who have lived their lives have wisdom. I have the great privilege of being able to visit those who are elderly, those who are shut in, those who have lived their lives. And there is a lot of wisdom that they have, and it is very beneficial and very helpful, even when a younger person, to listen to their life stories. To hear the pain that they went through, to hear the loss that they've went through, the joys that they've gone through. They've been in all of our positions. They've been young and seemingly indestructible. They've been middle-aged. And now they are living out the rest and the end of their days. And it is wise for us to listen to them. It's a mark also of a culture that is falling away from God to dishonor their elders, to dishonor their parents, to dishonor the wisdom of age. But if you as young people want to be wise, listen. Honor them. Listen to their words and don't think we have no place for it. These people, your parents themselves as well, they've been around the block. God has placed children in their care for a reason. And he warns his people. And he warns and promises. Because with that promise that it would go well with you in the land when you respect your parents is an unmentioned curse for if you don't. If you want it to go well in the land, this is what God was telling the people, honor your father and your mother. Honor those in authority. The unspoken thing being, if you don't want it to go well for you in the land, and it won't go well for you in the land if you don't honor them. And in fact, gross forms of dishonor in the Old Testament was punishable by death. That's how God views this. And so, again, boys and girls, when you disobey your parents, it's not some small thing. When your mom tells you to do something and you don't listen, you're not just disobeying your mom, you're disobeying God. That provides weight, provides a lot of reason why we would respect them, why we would listen to them. And of course, it's not to say again that parents know everything. In fact, most of the parents here, I'm sure, would say they wish they could do it over. That's why even the Catechism mentions that we are to have patience with their failings. You see, honoring a parent goes further than just, I'll honor you until you do something to me and then you're disqualified, then I don't need to honor you anymore because you weren't a perfect parent. No one's a perfect parent. But your parents love you, most of them at least. And that alone, as a general principle, should mean we should listen to them, apart even from the true reason that God commands us. The reason I keep hitting this is because it's such a problem today. It's something that's destroying our families, it's something that's destroying our culture, and it's something that destroys the church. The family unit is the building block of the church and society. And when that's destroyed, both of those institutions fall. God says in Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the ways of life. Young people, you shouldn't be coddled. It's not acceptable to not honor your parents. There are so many places in God's Word where He promises in these Proverbs and in these commandments that you will be blessed when you respect those in authority. Again, even when your parents aren't deserving of that. And perhaps in those instances, you have to seek another spiritual mother or father, but that doesn't mean you cast off your biological mother and father. You respect them. And so that's the address to the children and to the young people. But there's also in Ephesians an address to parents, and specifically an address to fathers. We see that in Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now we shift to the parents, because just as children are called to honor their parents, parents are called to be honorable. Parents are called to raise their children according to and in submission to what God commands of them. This isn't a responsibility you and parents can turn away from. This isn't also something you can expect to be handled in church and at school and that you don't have to take part of. You, and you especially as fathers, are fundamentally responsible for the spiritual life of your children. If you are not and don't care about the spiritual life of your children, and you are not looking out for and watching over that, you are actually failing as a parent. And it isn't good enough to say, well, I just don't know it that well, so I expect the church and I expect the school to train them. No, you better educate yourself and educate your children. That's what God commands. He commands fathers and mothers, He commands them to raise their children, to watch over them, to lead them spiritually. And leading them spiritually also means to us as parents, to you as parents, that you are to live out your faith and not just tell your children what they're supposed to do, you are to display it. Your children will learn more from how you act with your wife, from the words you say, even how you respond to situations, even as you value church. They're going to learn more from you and how you live than what you say. Both are important, but that means that if we're going to be honorable parents, we are to live in true obedience to God and true honor of God. That's the burden on a parent, and that's their responsibility. Deuteronomy 6 says this. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command to you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." That is how you as parents are to display this for your children. That's how you are to raise them. That is a burden, but a lovely responsibility as well. You will not succeed perfectly. And yet God's word also says that our children, when raised in this way, when we seek to raise them according to the Lord, they will rise up and call us blessed. Again, that doesn't mean in every case. It's not a universal promise, but that is the way of things. That is how God has designed it. That this would be the way it generally functions. Raise your children in this way. And fathers, you are the heads of the home. You are called to discipline. Train your children in discipline. You're called to enforce that. You're also called to be there. You can't think that you're fulfilling your role as a father if you just provide for them and are the breadwinner. It isn't enough to say, yes, I put in my 14-hour day and I provide for them, but not be there for them. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we put in long hours. Sometimes fathers are called to go out to work these jobs, to be dead tired in providing for their family, but that doesn't give us an excuse to then neglect their spiritual life, to neglect them. In some cases, we're called to trust that God will provide, and we don't take those extra shifts. We don't take the overtime because we know we need to be there for our children. Sometimes it's easy for us to boast about the hours we work. We think it's a sense of manliness. Look at the hours that I'm putting in. And sometimes that's quite necessary, and you should be proud of fulfilling that role. but it's never at the expense of your family. God does not care about your business or your house or your yard. He cares about your household. He cares about the house he's given you, your children, your wife. So don't let the fulfillment of one role in providing undermine your role as a spiritual guide and guard, as a spiritual protector. That's what you are. That is what you as parents are. That is what God cares about, and that is how we, that's how we praise Him. And so that is the address to parents. But now, addressing the fifth commandment in Christ. What does this fifth commandment mean in light of what Christ has done? What does this commandment mean with Christ? Well, first, there's three things I want to look at with Christ. First, Christ is the example. We don't like hearing to submit. We heard about that this morning. It's hard for us to hear to submit. Kids, it's hard for you to hear to obey your parents. But our example is Christ. And He is the supreme example who, though being God, though being perfect, put Himself into our bodies and then put Himself into submission to earthly, fallible parents. Then, as He being God and ruler of all things, put Himself into submission of civil rulers. He even treated the ecclesiastical rulers, those who were in charge of the temple, He even treated them with honor and respect. That is how Christ conducted Himself. He obeyed this command. He was honorable. He honored those in authority over Him when He was the possessor of all authority. He displayed this law. In this way, we see Christ as the example and His righteousness on display as the perfect keeper of all God's law. The second way we see Christ in this law, in this commandment, is that He's a mediator. As we've been talking about this, we realize that we as children fail to keep this. We as adults fail to keep this. We don't honor our authorities as we should. And we recognize that as parents, we failed. We didn't do everything we should have done. That at times we did exasperate our children. At times we did do the wrong thing. At times we weren't there for them. And what do we do with that? Well, in that we turn to Christ as our mediator, as the one who fulfilled it on our behalf. You can feel quite guilty as a parent sometimes, looking back on how you raised your children. And it can be very difficult. What you're called to do is look to Christ. Look to Him and know that any failures you had, He has covered. Anything you should have done and didn't, He has paid for. As children, we can have a lot of guilt realizing that we didn't honor our parents as we should have. We also look to Christ, who has fulfilled this law on our behalf, that we aren't guilty of the death we should have received from the dishonor we've done, but Christ has paid it. Christ is our example. Christ is our mediator. And Christ, lastly, is the substance of the law. Christ is the one to be honored. He is in all respects our Lord and King. He is the lawgiver. He is the lawkeeper. And what the law is presenting is His own character. The law presents to us the very character and attributes of God. This is how God wishes to be honored, because this is who God is Himself. One who honors. Not a way we generally think of God, as someone who honors. Now, of course, there is no one that is above God. And yet, even in the inner workings of the Trinity, there is an honoring of the persons that takes place between the other persons. The fifth commandment expresses to us what's true of God, what's true of Christ Himself, because He is the substance of the law. And that is why we obey, because God commands it. To end this evening, I want to read a passage from John that talks about Christ. And what I want us to see in this passage is not only how Jesus, in taking on a human nature, submitted and honored His Father, submitted even as a human to the authority of His Father in heaven, but then also how His Father honored Him for being a faithful Son. John chapter 5, verses 19 to 24. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, we praise you and we honor your name. We honor you as the supreme lawgiver, as our supreme Father who we all submit to. And we honor you, Lord Jesus, as our federal head, our covenant head, as our King and our Lord. You have given us this law, and we then, as children, submit to our parents. We, as parents, submit to you and raise our children in the fear of the Lord. We, as citizens, obey our rulers. We, as church members, obey our officers, and we ask that this honor, this obedience, this submission would characterize our church and in a way that would please you. We know that you are pleased, you are honored when this is how we live and when this is how we conduct ourselves. That is our goal, and we pray that we would put on display just a fraction of what we see that Christ put on display in submitting himself to you by taking our form, by even in the garden saying, not my will, but yours be done. May we so live and honor your name. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.